Book of Jonah, chapter 4, if you want to read with me. Thank you, Brother Joe, for the invitation to be a part of this. Also a privilege to preach tonight. I hope this will be a help to you. Sure didn't come to hurt anybody. Jonah 4, let's start reading about verse number 4. Then said the Lord, if you stand with us, please, just in the reverence of reading the Word of God. If he came to the back door, I'm sure we'd all stand and then fall.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 4, Jonah 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Thank you. Thank you for standing with me. Book of Jonah ends with a question mark and starts with a conjunction. Now, 14 books in the Old Testament, it starts with now. And it's really not a connecting conjunction, but it is a continuation conjunction. Simply saying that God is speaking through the whole Word of God and speaking to us and saying that there's one point to the entire 1,189 chapters, 23,000 verses of Scripture that says He does care. Chapter 2, verse 9, the last part of verse 9, I think, is the crux of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now I want to get to 4, but let me just lay a foundation. If you'll bear with me, everybody probably read Jonah. But see, the most important entity about this book is not the fish.
Yeah.
Fish is spoken of 4 times. Nineveh is spoken of 18 times.
Yeah.
God's spoken of 38 times. It's not a book about a fish. It's not a book about a gourd or a worm. It's the book of God. After something that I think Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. First Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. So I'm convinced if he can save the worst, he can save the lesser. And I know he is still saving, or we wouldn't be here, I don't think. I believe the church would ought to be taken out of here if he was not still saving sinners. Now, I think the church has lost its way during the path that it's not so concerned about sinners as it should. But God has never changed his mind on the fact that those, he's not looking for those that are righteous in their own eyes. He's looking for those that are lost. You have to get lost. You can't, John 6:44, you cannot come unto me except my Father, which sent me, draw him. You can't come unto him. John 14 simply says that no man can come to the Father except by me. So you've got to be drawn by the Spirit of God to even get born again. It's not your time, it's his time. Ecclesiastes 3:3 says it's a time to live, then there's a time to die. But it's also said it's a time to be born. Amen. And so, this determination, I am not hyper-Calvinist, okay? I'm not a 5-point tulip Calvinist, if you know what that is. I think all of us are probably a couple points Calvinist.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it's not limited atonement and it's not irresistible grace.
Right.
You can resist grace. You cannot resist conviction.
Come
But you can resist grace.
Amen.
When God puts you under conviction, you can't get out from under it until you say yes or no.
Right.
And He may do it more than once. Proverbs 29:1, see that is often reproved,
yeah,
and hardness hath met. So often reproved, convicted is what it means. He that is often reproved but hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So it's the fact that God has to let you know that you're lost. I have. You ever been lost in the woods? I have. As a teenager, I don't hunt too much anymore. I went deer hunting about 25 years ago and found her. I hadn't been able to look for another deer since. So the fact is that I was out in, got it, didn't you? I was out in the woods as a teenager hunting and got in some areas off of Grant Mountain over on the east side of the mountain, and I totally got lost. I couldn't even find up, let alone north, south, east, and west. And I thought, my heavens, what am I? I mean, we're talking about a 16-year-old kid and just got licensed, you know, and Dad trusted me with a truck. And I'm lost in the woods, and I think, my goodness, where am I at? And I started to panic. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing, and I heard somebody say one time, you get lost in the woods, look for which side of the tree the moss is on, and that'll help you. I know if you go to the cemetery, if you get to an old cemetery, if they was to raise up, they'd be looking east. Well, there wasn't no cemetery in the woods down there, but there was moss on the trees, in which that makes it north side of the tree. And I started figuring it out. I think I lived a little west of the woods, and so I got out. But I've been in Atlanta lost, boy. That's a frightening feeling to be in Atlanta lost. I never do don't go through it. I don't get lost. It's not nothing new. I'm just telling you, a lost feeling is a horrible feeling. But until it's like dead, you know, dead folk can't do anything about dead. Dead folk can't raise up and talk. Dead folk can't say anything. They can't do anything. Can't go anywhere. Ephesians 2:1 said, you are dead in trespasses and in sin. So God's got to wake an individual up. God's got to touch something or other to wake them up and let them recognize that they are lost without God. So I'm totally convinced this thing is of God. I'm totally convinced unless God touches you, you can't find Him. He is the Spirit, John 4:24 said. He is the Spirit, and you cannot find Him, so it's totally left up with Him. But you're the one who has to say yes to the grace of God and accept Him on His terms, not on Baptist terms, not on Methodist, not on Holiness terms, not on Independence terms, but you have to accept Him on His terms. And that's death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, this thing has came by grace. Now, I want to tell you, John 3:16 can be planted right here in Jonah. For it said, God so loved the world. Then the world means, is cosmos. The Greek word, cosmos. It doesn't mean rock, doesn't mean trees, doesn't mean hills and valleys and water. Cosmos is the organized setup of mankind. God loves man. He created him in the garden, Genesis 2:7, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That thing ain't put there to stick up in the air. It's put there to breathe through. Amen. I wish everybody would find that out. The fact is that Jonah is, and I want to preach on one text, and it's real simple, and it ain't nothing hard about it. It's just dealing with names. I want to preach on where did the dove go? What happened to the dove? What ended up with the dove? How did things turn out for the dove? Amittai, his father, it means truth. It means honest. His son is not going to take after him very much all the time. Now you go to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, and you'll find we got the same Jonah mentioned in Kings, same daddy, and then you'll go to Matthew 12:40. It said as Jonah, well, it says Jonas because the Greek word don't have all the letters of the Hebrew, and he said Jonas in the belly of the whale, 3 days and 3 nights, and that is 72 hours, by the way. He said, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Luke chapter 11, verse number 30, the sign of Jonah was given to the Israelites. But he said, I'm greater than Jonah. One greater than Jonah is here. So I want to say to you tonight that I'm not trusting in what I had a preaching daddy or shouting mother. I'm not preaching on the fact that I know what they said. I'm just telling you what this book said. I'm telling you, you have no hope unless God does come to you and does give you the authorization, opens the door for you to get right with God, or you will spend eternity in a devil's hell that was preached here Wednesday night.
You're right, brother.
Jonah is glad in chapter 1. He's sad in chapter 2. In chapter 3 and 4, he's mad. Absolutely. Now, he's glad in chapter number 1 because he is rejoicing over the fact that God said, now, I want you to bear with me here. I've read, preached it at our church, and took me about, five messages, which is about 5 hours. So, you know, get comfortable. We're going to be here a long time if I go through all of it. But he's paying by the hour anyway. That's what I heard, so I'm going to stand. The fact is that Jonah is in a setting of the Ninevites. The Ninevites, in that day, it's the capital of the Assyrian country. They're just like the Russians right now in the Middle East. They just hovered over the world. The Syrians were wicked people. The Assyrians would literally flay a man. They would peel him of his skin. They would put him on a cross, put a barb in his tongue, and watch him die. They would bear him up to the neck, put a barb in the tongue, or they'd reach in there and grab his tongue and jerk it right out of their head. They would impale a man with a short post, either through the stomach or come up the other way, and then put him on a hole and watch them die. If you was old or a baby, they killed you. They didn't have any problem with children. They killed every one of them. They'd ravish the women and kill all the men. Cut their heads off and put them up in a pyramid outside of the city to show everybody else how wicked that they were. This country, this nation, this particular Assyrian people of Ninevites, they're mean to the bone. God has told, not asking, it wasn't a suggestion. He said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Go to Nineveh and preach against that. Speak against that great city. Now, we do know, by what I just read, there are 120,000, they believe, kids, could have been illiterates, could have been some didn't know the left from the right, as the book said, right from wrong. I don't know when fussed with you, but I do know there's 120,000 of people that don't know their left hand from their right hand. Now, history says, what I've read, that there's at least 750,000 to 1 million people in that metropolis around Nineveh. It's got a wall. It's 60 miles around it. It's 60 miles breadth. It would take you 3 days, and that's 20 miles a click, every day to get across Nineveh. It's a huge, huge place. I think Mexico City would compare to, it's got more than 1 million, but this place to say that God took 1 million people, 750,000, 120,000 would rattle my cage, and there would be probably 500 to 700 people in my life at one time. A million people turned to God. If I'm right, but we know at least 120,000 people, according to the book, was preserved and taken care of. I want to tell you, God loves a Ninevite like he liked the ISIS. And for him to tell Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites is like asking you and me to go to over yonder the Middle East and preach to the ISIS, the Islamic extremists. I mean, I don't want them saved. I want them out of the way. That's what I want. But see, God still cares about them. Ezekiel 37:38 are great books of the Bible. It gets rid of Russia, and it also gets rid of Islamic. That's a good 2 chapters right there. Jesus is not interested in killing them, even though he will take care of them. What he's interested in is helping them get out of hell. I was preaching down in Gulfport it's been a couple of years now. I was down there in a prison ministry with a guy. I think I've been 2 or 3 times down there in Wiggins Correctional Center. And I was preaching away. And boy, you talking about going to church. You're in there preaching at a prison. Give it a whirl. Hey, man, if you can't get loose there, you need to lay down your book and quit preaching.
Yeah,
them old boys will sick you like a dog. And I got to preaching. I mean, just it was on. I even told them that they one of them wanted to fight me, stand up. I believe I could whoop you. And one of them stood up on me. I got too happy is what happened. And I said, I'll catch you outside after church. That's what I'll do. I'll whoop you. He ain't going to get out, you know. But I mean, I got all happy and carried away. And we gave an imitation of a big old black boy about that tall, about that wide, walked up to me with the worst breath I have ever smelt in my life, and said, preacher, he said, I want what you got. Amen. I said, well, you know what? I got more.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to tell you, God loves those sinners. He don't care if they're black, white, red, brown, yellow, polka dot. I've been to the mall and seen some polka dots. I'm just telling you, he still cares about old sinners.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't ever get all of this, Joe.
That's all right. We got all the way. Come on. Preach on. Preach it, brother.
Go to Nineveh. Second Kings 14:25. He lives in Heth Ever. You know where Nazareth is in the north parts of the Galilee country. It's in the north part of the nation of Israel. And that place is just 20 to 30 miles little west, southwest of where Nazareth, where the Lord Jesus was raised, where he was brought out of Egypt and carried to Nazareth. And he there to Assyria, to Nineveh, is roughly 500 miles. Now, a camel can handle 20, 25 miles a day. It'll take him 30 to 40 days to get on camelback to this Ninevite city. It'll take about a month, month and a half. You know what he does? He goes southwest down the coast of Israel. Tel Aviv, if you know where Tel Aviv is, just a few clicks, a few miles from Tel Aviv, there you got Joppa. It's called Jaffa now, but it was Joppa in that day. He went down, and if you do go from Galilee country to Joppa, you will geographically go down. Now they'll say, let's go up to Jerusalem. Anywhere in Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. Amen. Amen. And if you do get to Jerusalem, you will be up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, he went opposite what God told him to do. He goes to Joppa, paid the fare. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He's going to Tarshish, the one that Saul is from. He's going to Tarshish on the west side of Spain, which is as far as they knew people existed, land existed. It's through the Strait of Gibraltar, and you hook a right and go north, and right in there is where Tarshish is, and he's going to. 2,000 miles, roughly, from Joppa to Tarshish. He's going to go as far to the wrong way as he can, because he does not want the Ninevites to be forgiven.
Right.
He told us in chapter 4, I didn't read it, but he said in chapter 4, he said, I knew that you was a tender heart and tender in mercy. And I knew if they asked to forgive forgiveness, that you'd forgive them. Hey, if he can save a murder, by the way, when they went to war, the wives and the children went with them.
Yeah.
They camped with them. They stayed gone for years. There are times read where some cities would commit suicide instead of being tortured by the Ninevites.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, the women were used to murder. The kids were seasoned with murder. They were people that didn't know God, didn't care about God.
Yeah.
But God cared about them.
Amen.
Didn't nobody care about my soul. Well, I know my mother and daddy did, but nobody cared about me like he did.
Amen.
Even if they cared about me like he did, they couldn't do it like he did. Mom and dad could get me to the altar, but they couldn't get me into heaven.
Amen.
Here he comes. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he loves you. I don't care what you've been doing. I don't care how much you've been doing it. I want to tell you, you say, well, I'm too mean, and your little old heart's kind of popping. You ain't too mean yet. No, sir. You ain't got mean enough. My little hearts are flipping over and over. Holy Ghost is kind of working on you. You ain't got mean enough yet. You just rock to get saved. That's what you are.
Oh, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
60 miles around it. Take you 3 days to go around it. Take you 3 days to go through it.
Yeah.
Roughly 1 million people.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable. Even the whole city of Samaria gets saved in Acts 8. They wasn't no kind of people like that, Joe. It's amazing what God could do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what happened there.
Yes, sir.
Jonah is happy in chapter 1 because he's rejoicing that if he can make it 40 days, he thinks that place will burn down.
Yeah.
God's already said 40 days, it's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
But you see, you can't start counting when he left carrying heifer.
Yeah.
You can't count from there. You've got to wait till he starts counting when he starts preaching. That's your problem.
There you go.
He's misfigured. He figures he stayed on 40 days, ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Because Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 said that God would hiss for the bee.
Yeah.
Now this is 750 before Christ. Isaiah 650 before Christ.
Yeah.
There's 100 years now the book of Nahum. 150 years later after Jonah, God is going to destroy Nineveh.
Yeah.
And by the way, Nahum even ends with a question mark too. First one ends with penitence and the next one ends with punishment.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, God will put up with you and put up with you and put up with you. But when the hammer falls, it's done, buddy.
Yeah.
I tell you, when God says, I've had it, I've had it.
Yeah.
And there's coming a day when He's going to say, son, I've had it.
Yeah.
Go get them and get them out of that mess.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the day. If I live long enough, I'm looking forward to the day I get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna jump out of my clothes into a robe.
Yeah, man.
Reckon where that clothing he had on when he comes up out of that cocoon in the tomb.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't no clothes laying in there, Brother Joe. That thing was already wrapped around him.
Come on.
He had to hold it back for them to let put their hands in his side.
Oh yeah.
Ain't it amazing? He eat fish.
Yeah.
He ain't no stinking vegetarian.
Yeah.
He ate fish.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say stink if you're a vegetarian.
Come on.
I ain't one, won't never will be one. I like meat, boy.
Yes.
Protein.
Bring
me protein. Don't bring me ice cream. Bring me protein. That's,
yeah.
That's what I like more. Cornbread and milk's good. I don't know what that is. It's good. He's happy.
Yeah.
He's running from God. That's bright, ain't it? I'm going to run off and leave God. Now, they weren't fishing, but that fish was a man. He was looking for a man.
Yeah.
God prepared a fish.
Come on,
great fish. 1240 said it was a whale. By the way, do anybody happen to know what Nineveh's God is? Dagon. And that's the Hebrew word for fish.
Yeah.
They worshipped the fish. That was their God. He's going to come out of the belly of their God and introduce them to the heart of His God. Amen. Yes, sir. I got that myself, I think. I'm not sure. It may not be reasonable, but I think it's man. All I know is, he don't want to go to Nineveh the way I wouldn't want to go to the Middle East and witness to the Islamics. I don't really think you can got to leave the country and have to work to talk to them about God. I think they're here.
Yes, sir.
Our president don't believe it, but I kind of believe there's plenty of them here.
Amen.
That are not all okay. There's probably some of them okay, but we got a lot of stuff in this country that appears it's okay, but it just ain't okay. My heavens, this political correctness is about to strangle us to death. You know that? I want to be biblically correct myself.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
I'm like Brother Brandon just said it. It's good to see you. It scared me. I didn't see his girl get up. I had my head down looking at my book, and he got to singing, and all of a sudden, I thought, what in the world? What's going? He's singing like a little girl, and I got to look in my phone. Scared me that I thought she was a ventriloquist or something. All I know is that what was I even talking about? I want to say it anyhow.
Come on,
bro. I am telling you, God. God cares for sinners. Jonah didn't care for sinners. Preacher that preached the message didn't enjoy it and had a good turnout. There's a few more there than they are here tonight, that's for sure. Had a good turnout, and every stinking one of them got saved. I've been in meetings years ago, like 20, 25 gets saved. Oh, we'd be doing laps around the building, inside and outside.
Yes,
turning over the pews, flipping, rolling in the floor. Hey, man, we showed the Holy Spirit how to do that, by the way. I'm just telling you that God ain't changed. We're the ones that's got changed. We're the ones that's quit birthing babies. We're the ones that's in big trouble and travailing and childbirth. It's our fault. I believe it is. I believe it is. I ain't never going to get out of chapter 1. That Leviathan's right underneath the keel of that ship while that dude's laying in the belly of it asleep. You can sleep out of the will of God, brother.
Yes, sir.
I had to come rouse him up.
Yeah.
Verse 8 said, and I can't quote it verbatim. Verse 8 says, they roused him up.
Yeah.
And said, get up, old sleeper.
Yes, sir.
You're sleeping through a stinking level 12 hurricane.
Yeah.
It was a supernatural storm.
Yes,
it wasn't a natural storm. Them old boys are seaworthy. They're mariners. They know when it's bad. I mean, it's like it's good to know you. We ain't going no further.
Right.
They said, wake up. What's going on with you? He rouses up, goes up. He ain't said a word. When you backslid, you don't tell them about God. They didn't know who his God was. They didn't know where he was from. And they didn't know he was a prophet. And they flat didn't know what God had told him to say. See, when you get out of the will of God, you quit witnessing.
Yeah.
You quit praying.
Yeah.
You quit getting penitence.
Uh-huh.
You just quit.
Yeah.
It's bright as it can be
yeah.
to tell God, I ain't going nowhere. But see, God didn't say a word to him until chapter 3.
Uh-huh.
When you get out of pocket with God, you might as well look for the intros of a fish spiritually
yeah.
because God knows he listen, this ain't some old dude that don't know nothing. This ain't some old guy. This is Jonah. This guy in chapter 2 quoted the Psalms 13 times in 11 verses. And what I said to you, the salvation is of the Lord, came out of Psalms 4. And Jonah was quoting book
yeah.
in the belly of a fish.
Yes,
and never did ask one time to get out. He never asked one time to get out. But he said, I will repay my vow. Reckon how he knows he's going to God's already let him know.
Yeah.
Before he comes out. Anybody ever heard of Hinkle Little? Hinkle Little is one of the four that helped pen, sorry, I never knew you. Hinkle preached for me years ago up in Tennessee. Pastor church, I preached for him. He's the oddest guy I've ever been around in my life. I've been around some odd ones. I guess I'm odd. But he's the oddest dude I've ever been around in my life. It took me a while to get to know him. He acted like a showboat. But he wasn't. It was just Hinkle. And I told him, I said, Hinkle, I disagree with you on that sorry stuff. Naomi Siegel Brothers once sung it, 1,000 years ago. And I said, he ain't going to say sorry. Not Matthew 7 said he ain't going to say sorry. He said, I never did know you. Amen. Hinkle said his mother. I hope Hinkle loses heaven tonight if he told me a lie. That's all I'm saying. But I believe he's in heaven right now. Hinkle said his mother and his sister was walking in the Korean War, 1940s, 44 or 50 days, 51, 52, somewhere in that neighborhood. Said they was walking down an old dusty road in Taylorsville, North Carolina, which is where they were from. And said after a while, his mama said to the sister, he said, Faye, I'm going to have to go over here and pray. Just out of the blue. They probably walked to the store somewhere and headed back home. She said, I'm going to have to pray. So Faith stood down on the side of the road. I don't know how the kid was, but she stood there. And Mama went down in some old ivies down in there, like old kudzu or something, and got on her face and prayed. And God showed her something. Got back on the road, went back to the house. 3 or 4 days later, they got a Pentagon letter. The child, her boy, her oldest boy was in Korea, and he was dead. It was a letter that he had died in action. Everybody got the letter, everybody calls the family, everybody's crying, broke it up like everybody should be. Mama's sitting over there darning socks. They said, Mama, he's gone. She said, he ain't gone.
He ain't gone. Mama's dead. The Pentagon says he's dead. She said, I don't give a rip what the Pentagon says. I just know he ain't dead. Well, you know he ain't dead, Mama. Well, it was a few days ago I had to get down and pray, and God showed me my boy kind of busted up, but he's all right. They's having a hard time believing Mama, but they believe what sneaking army would tell them. I want to tell you, a few days later, a few weeks later, that dead boy wrote a letter. Wrote a letter.
Yep.
Said, hey, I got blown over in enemy territory. I wound up on a bunch of rocks. I busted up a right leg, but I'll be home in about 3 weeks. And old Mama said, yep, that's him. That's same God. And they changed the elder, ladies and gentlemen. God still God. You'll get close enough to him, you'll find out a few things.
Right.
I believe Jonah found out something in the belly of the whale.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 12:40 says there's a whale, and you look up the word whale, get it in the back in the Greek. It just simply says huge monster, a whale. Jesus said it was a whale.
Yeah.
It's a whale. Hey, man.
Yep.
I mean, he knows.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He says a whale. Now, ain't it amazing that the Lord chose Jonah to prove the resurrection? He could have taken Abraham and Isaac up on Mount Moriah in Genesis 22.
Come on.
But he chose Jonah, backslid on God.
Oh, yeah.
He was out of fellowship with God and went in the fish.
Yeah.
He wasn't much better when he came out of the fish.
Yeah.
But God chose Jonah to prove the resurrection. Luke 11:30, right after Jonah, is Queen of Sheba. Says Queen of the South is Queen of Sheba. And Solomon, within two verses, all three of them. I ain't got no problem believing Solomon. I don't have any problem with Sheba. Sheba said they ain't never heard the half of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to hear the other half one of these days.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm about to have a spook new
head,
Joe boy. Hey, man. Oh, John just as real as Solomon.
Yeah.
He just as real as Queen Sheba. Because the Lord said he is who he is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you sure have approved.
Yes,
the birth, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
sir. Last verse of chapter 1, they threw him over. And when he went over, they got in. Because they said they started fearing. Proverbs 1:7 said the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Now I'm fussed with you. You can be wrong if you want to. I just believe them old boys got right with God. That's what I believe.
Amen.
I just believe they got right with God. Yeah. Chapter 2. Not a word to help me out of here. I think you already knew it was coming out.
Yes, sir.
Not a word of asking. 13 times he quote, not verbatim every verse, but he takes portions. Psalms 8, Psalms 18, Psalms 36, Psalms 118, Psalms 140, Psalms 4. He takes partial verses and he starts quoting them to God. There ain't nobody else going to hear him. He's quoting back to God.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, salvation's of the Lord.
Yep.
And he's probably like old John the Baptist in the mama's belly.
Yep.
He probably got a little hope or something there.
Yep.
Was he dead? Doubt it.
No.
Doubt it. Hear me. It's a documented fact. 1891, Star of the East, a ship off the coast of Africa, whatever it is, them islands over there that England owns right now. Early or late 1800s, there's whalers harpoon little boats that go out and they harpoon the fish. That sperm whale. Sperm whale has been. Many, over the years, they have caught them, killed them, slid them open, and found 16-foot shark skeletons inside the sperm whale. 50, 60-foot whale. Plenty big to swallow a man whole. Now, I'm not telling you it's a sperm whale. I'm not telling you it is, but I'm telling you it could be. Don't you go here and say, Beck said it was a sperm whale. I ain't saying that at all. That he just, it can't be a blue whale because he eats plankton.
Yeah.
He don't want no backslid preacher. You talking about food poisoning?
Yeah.
That'd be food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've had it before. It's the worst thing. I thought I was going to give birth to something. Amen. I mean, I thought I was going to die before I did it. I don't never want to eat at KFC no more. I'll just be honest with you. It wasn't the blue whale, 100-foot long fish, biggest one in the ocean. Couldn't be hit. It ain't just a shark whale. He don't eat meat neither. Could be a humpback, but humpbacks, I think, have the grills. I don't think he'd eat me. It's possible it's the sperm whale. Here's what out in 1891, documenting fact. James Bartley went out in the dinghy with other men. That big sperm whale slapped that boat and knocked him out. Killed one guy. And James went over. They never seen him again. But a day and a half later, they found that thing with all those harpoons in him. They found him, killed him, started cutting the blubber off, and then they cut the stomach out, threw it up on the deck, and gave it a slice, and out come old James. Still intact, white as a piece of cotton where he didn't have clothes. Hey, man, gastric juices. Here's the miracle of the fish. It ain't the fact that he got swallowed by one. It's the fact he didn't get digested in 3 days.
Yeah.
Because a sperm whale can digest food in 72 hours. There's your miracle.
Yeah.
God stopped the gastric juice. Now, I don't know if old Jonah was wise, peace got and came out or not. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it is possible that a man can go into the gullet of a sperm whale, and because they are oxygen breathers, they have to breathe, get their breath, go back down. There was air in that old James said. He said, I passed out, but he said, I wouldn't have lost my breath. What am I trying to say?
Yeah.
Asphyxiated. I wouldn't have asphyxiated, but he said, I could have starved to death, but he said, it was so hot, the heat was so unbearable, he said, you couldn't understand it. And he said, you put your hands out, and you feel slimy. It's a stomach gland. I mean, that's got to be a fearful thing, brother. I'm telling you, old Jonah has went into the water. He thinks it's over with. Ain't got to worry about it no more than bank. Something ain't right about this. Starts feeling around. And all he feels is tissue of a fish. And he thinks, my God, I'm going to be digested alive in the middle of a fish. But you see, God had other plans for the fish. Got a sperm whale up, chucks. He's ready to die. After he got rid of that preacher, he didn't have no reason to live.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know. There's a lot of churches feel that way, too.
Yeah.
I'm just simply telling you that God preserved him and showed the world that he'd take care of him.
Yeah.
Whew. Chapter 3. Has it been 2 hours yet? Chapter 3. Chapter 2, he's sad. Chapter 3 and 4, he mad. You would think your humility would kick in after 72 hours in the belly of a fish. You would think. But now he's going to do what he's told to do. In my affliction, I prayed, chapter 2, verse 1, not in affection, affliction. Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, David said. Psalms 119, verse 72, he said, thou hast done good to afflict me. Take sickness, Brother Joe. It's weakness. Men, you got one, friend. I promise you, men, you do. You pastor a church. You got affliction. Ain't nobody knows. Not really. Your wife don't really know. Not really. She's closer to knowing anybody else. But not really. They just some things you can't say.
Right.
I won't tell you the whole story, but been a little spell there at sunrise.
Bless you, man.
I got shut down. Just got shut down. I got stuck in the Psalms. I started chapter 1. I'm at 39 now, and I've had a reprieve.
Come on.
Now, the Psalms is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just not my pick.
Yeah.
It's got some great stuff. I've learned some things I didn't know. I've learned meanings of words I didn't have a clue. And I've seen things I never would have seen. He forced me into Psalms. Well, one night I thought I'd do a little different. It's just sunrise. It ain't near any of us.
Come on.
I was going to preach on the chief shepherd, the great shepherd,
yeah,
and the good shepherd.
Come on.
22, 23, 24 Psalms. It won't preach. It will if he'll let you.
Yeah.
But it won't preach unless he's got his hands in the middle of it.
Amen.
I mean, it stunk. I thought I got uncalled in my own pulpit. I thought for a second that he's going to pull back my calling.
Come on.
And it's like I didn't have a friend in the world. About 6-8 minutes, I quit. I mean, I just shut it down. The first thing you want to do is get mad at everybody because it's dead. But I have preached to people before that was mad at me that couldn't even see good. Mm-hmm. And just shout in their ear.
Yep.
If you can't preach in front of opposition, you need to lay it down, friend. Because
right.
There's opposition comes to church about all the time.
You're right.
Baby screaming, that's some opposition. Sure. Your baby can't have it, but you think, carry it out there and rock it to sleep. Use a big rock, whatever you have to do. You know, rock it. I have grandbabies, I don't mean that one bit in the word. Don't you? I'd rock you if you started hurting a baby. But, you know, there's just some things about Lane said, they didn't use to bother you. I said, yeah, God, I feel gear all on you. Ain't nothing. Well, man, get a spit in your face. You just preach happy to him. But if he ain't around you, boy, you just read, all right, let's go. Let's just get it on. Let's do something wrong. No. I quit. Went to the house. When the grandbaby comes to our house, we got three little ones. Two teenagers. They don't come no more. They got other things. But the three little ones still want to come. Got one here tonight. I'll be sleeping. I'm upstairs tonight. Well, for some reason, that particular night, I don't know why, it was either Wednesday night or Sunday night, that one of the grandbabies was with us, and I had to go upstairs. I laid down in the bed. This heart broke, felt lonely, felt afflicted. I said, Lord, I can't tell you it was words. All I know is that here it came. I put you in Psalms. You stay there till further notice. Now, I didn't get those in words. It was just like, I put you in Psalms. You stay there till further notice. Praise the Lord. I was happy. I mean, he's still with me.
Yep.
There ain't nothing more dangerous to a preacher is to walk in that pulpit and God don't know you up there.
That's it, brother.
Or acts like goes back 40 house, shuts the door, won't come out. I mean, it's the most horrible. It's like pushing a chain. You just can't do it. I've seen some try, and I've tried for years, but I thought, about 2 weeks, and I'm done, and I'm done. But I said, Lord, and I was going to ask him, what's going on? Don't you love me no more? That's stupidity.
Yeah.
But don't you care? He interrupted me and just simply laid it on and said, you in Psalms, you stay there till further notice. Back to the 39th chapter, I got further notice. Amen. I mean, it's been happy days again. It's been wonderful to feel the good Holy Ghost run up down your backbone, swinging you from the trapeze act without a net. I'm telling you, I'm going to be around God than anybody I ever met my entire life. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3, he gets to Nineveh. Now, I don't know where the fish puked him out at, but he puked him out on bank. He made him swim. He upchucked him somewhere. He could have made his way around the Arabian boot, chucked him out up there closer to Nineveh. I ain't got a clue. But if he chucked him out at Joppa where he started, he's got a month and a half to get to Nineveh. Or 2 months. Or if he's a good stepper, 1 month. They've had plenty of time to hear about that fellow went in the fish and came out of the fish. They've had plenty of time here about that prophet that came out of it. And I ain't saying they did, but they got plenty of time to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And if he is bleached out like a piece of cotton from gastric juices, if he is, don't you know he's quite a show when he walked into Nineveh? If he had clothes on, he's got his skin. But if he ain't got clothes, he's bleached out. If the gastric juices kick in like they did with old James Bartley in 1891. 8 words. In the Hebrew original, it's 5 words. Now, 8 is a number, biblical number for a new beginning, but 5 is a number, grace. And that's what that book's about, Brother Joe. That book's about grace. Meanest, lowest, downest people in the world. He sent a preacher. And I've got to say, I believe he's a good preacher. He loved the nation of Israel. Because Assyria will conquer the northern kingdom, which is Israel, the ten tribes, and Babylon will conquer the two in the south, which is Judah. I want to tell you that he was dead on accurate.
They were horrible, wicked, vile. Sounds like somebody I knew in 1976, June 13. Nobody knew what I was the night before. Nobody knew what I was doing, what I was around, what was involved with it. Nobody knows. God don't even know anymore. He brought it up for me. Can't even bring it up. He can't remember it. Amen. And I flat ain't going to tell nobody. Do you know what Beck done in 1976, June the 12th? No, what did he do? You'll never know. He walks into Nineveh a day's journey, which is about 20 miles. And he said, in 40 days, this thing's gone. And he liked his message. He didn't give them or else, as in Revelation chapter number 2 with the Ephesus church. Else, repent. Remember, return, repent, or else. I'll remove the candlestick. Glory leaves. Conviction leaves. Light goes out. You preach the word of God ain't got any light because God has removed the candlestick. Spirit of God, it's typification of the Spirit of God.
Come on.
40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. 8 words. I might not have said 8 words, but it's 8 words. That's quite a message. It's a little shorter than one I'm giving you tonight. 8 words. God don't have to say, "Who art thou, Lord?" Acts 8. In the next verse, Saul said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?"
Yeah.
It only took one verse for him to get in. Can you hear me? Just one verse. Who are you? Now, what do you want me to do, Lord?
Yep. That's it.
All of a sudden, that Galatians 3, he hit the dung pot handle and flushed his pedigree, flushed his pride, flushed all about his knowledge.
Yeah.
He said unto Gamaliel, he flushed it, said, "That I just may know him." That's Philippians 3, not Galatians.
Right.
This time I know him. Not get used to and not get around him, but get to know him intimately. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how long he took to preach to a million, or did he preach to 100,000, and they spread it. I don't know. I don't think nobody does. He got done preaching. And here he goes. Goes out on the east side of the hill, in my opinion. Built him a little booth, little leaner, little four-poster, and had thatch roof on it, palm tree leaves or something. Kill them. Kill them. If you don't kill them, they'll kill us. Kill them. God punched him up a gourd. And it's very typical in that setting, in that gourd, that could pop up in a day's time and go away later. But a huge fan-like gourd, and it shaded him. Because if God had prepared a vehement, by the way, prepared fish doesn't mean a special fish, it means chosen, selected. God didn't make a special fish. God didn't make a special gourd. God didn't make a special worm. God chose a fish, chose a worm, chose a gourd.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing special about me. But he chose. Paul said he didn't find me faithful. He said he didn't find me worthy. He found me faithful.
Anybody?
Didn't ask me if I wanted it. He said he just put me into the ministry. I've been put.
Yes,
a lot of folks didn't want me put. A lot of them now don't want me put, but I'm still put. And can't get out of being put. 11:30 Romans says the gifts plural and the calling singular is that without repentance. You can't repent your way out of not doing it. You may preach one time flat on your back or in a wheelchair, but you will preach. You'll do what God says to do or you're in trouble. Amen. Sits up there and pouts, pooches his lip out, waits on the fire to fall. Burn them down. Surely to God, a million people ain't going to get repented, but a million people, 750,000 or more, repented over an 8-word message. It was brief. It was blunt. But it was blessed. There's the reason 8 million people got right with God.
Amen.
God bless the bruntness. Ain't it amazing? Preach to the church and lost people get saved. Ephesians 4:4 said 4:5, what is 4:6? One church, one Lord, one baptism.
Yep. Come on, brother.
It ain't. Okay, I ain't going to go into that one. But it's the fact that God has got to be drawing and pulling. What happened to the dove? That's my text. Took me a long time getting here. You're going to be glad. This is the best part of it. By the way, if you check your Bibles or any other Bible, it'll say author Jonah. They think Moses wrote the first five of the Pentateuch, but they don't have any quorums with Jonah being the author of the book of Jonah. Now that says a lot, because it was left in a question mark. Should I not have pity on 120,000 that know not their left hand from their right hand? And he left it in a question mark. Jonah's name means a dove. His name means dove. A dove has no bladder. Therefore, it's not bitter. The liquids go through the bowel. It has no bladder. There's a lot of birds that don't have bladders, but the dove is one of them. It has no bladder. There's no bitterness. If you're bitter, you're not fulfilling the doveness that God is wanting for you in your life. Anybody remember the Welsh Revival? 1908, 1909, somewhere in that neighborhood. Thousands of people got saved. Five teenage kids, boys. God drove through Welsh, the Wales country, in around England. John Phillips is Welsh. He was a young boy during that time, if I remember right, or maybe born a little after. He said the miners were getting saved. And they was going back to work, and the ponies that pulled the coal cars didn't know what to do because the miners were always cussing them, hollering at them, beating them, hitting them. And they weren't doing that because they just got saved. They got mellowed out. Okay, come up, pony. The ponies didn't know what to do. It was confused. Proverbs 14:12 said, the righteous man but he takes care of his animal. Where the unrighteous does not. Proverbs 14:12 talks about your animal. You scroll over, brother. It's been a while. I think I'm still welcome there, Brother Gary and Miss Nadine's house. But there was one animal over there that ain't real close to preachers. His name was Smokey. I surnamed him Satan. He didn't have claws, but he had fangs. And I still have prints to prove it if you'd like to see them. He nailed me. They just laughed. They knew you was going to get bit. And I wouldn't, if Smokey come up, I'd say, okay, y'all get Satan and get him out of here. I mean, you just do it, try to be petting him. He wants to fight. He don't know what to do. So God says even you get right with the Lord, you'll find that even a dog even know you got saved. Because there'll be a difference in you. That's what happened in Nineveh. They didn't know what had happened. All of a sudden, from the king all the way down to the beast. They were told, you're going to have to repent. Can you imagine 750,000, I can't, 750,000 to a million people down on their face screaming to God that ain't got towels on their head and ain't down on the towel that is hollering, oh, Jehovah God, forgive us, forgive us. It's been amazing. What happened to the dove? What happened to this dove means peace. Spirit of God comes in the, not the form of a dove, but like a dove. It wasn't a dove that descended on Christ. It said, like a dove. It's peaceable. It's persistent. The dove's the only bird that I know of can tuck one wing and fly with the other. Tuck one wing, fly with the other. He's got longevity. He's got perseverance. Now, I'm not saying he can fly out here to Scottsboro with one wing, but he might make it to railroad track on one. God chose right. It was the turtle doves that he used for the sacrifices because humility. Song of Solomon talks about, said, my dove, not him, her. The beloved was looking for the dove.
The beloved's looking for the dove tonight. What happened to the dove? He wrote 4 chapters and did not vindicate himself. He did not excuse himself. I think he got back. By what I read with a question mark left, I think Jonah got his joy back. That's my opinion. Because he wrote it himself and he didn't hide anything. Shoot. I'd hide stuff if I was having to write an autobiography about me. I wouldn't tell some things. I couldn't tell them right anyway. I forgot most of them. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, man of God going the wrong direction. And God says, we'll take care of this. I'll show you. I do what I want to do. And he puts him back on the right track. Turns bitter. Ahithophel. You ever heard of him? It's Bathsheba's grandfather. Ahithophel was David's right-hand man at one time. And he turned to Absalom. And you know the final state of Ahithophel? They found him with a noose around his neck. Bitterness killed him. Esau. Genesis 16. I believe I'm right. Esau sold his birthright. He didn't give a rip about spiritual eternal things. He didn't care. And he was profane. Hebrews 12, about verse 6, 7, or 8, one of those numbers, said he was a profane person. And we get our word porno from the word profane. An adulteress. If you read it in his text, if you still look it up in Greek, you'll find pornos. The word porno comes out of it. He was a vile guy. He was worldly. And he never chose correctly. He didn't make it. Turned bitter. Bitter tears, 12 Hebrews said. Bitterness circles around somebody. People get bitter at God for taking a baby, grandchild, child, daughter, son, wife, husband. A lot grow bitter at God. There's an object. Bitterness has got to have an object. It doesn't function. Churches. I've seen preachers get bitter at churches. Churches get bitter at a preacher.
Amen.
We have a preacher who just resigned a church in this county recently. And I asked God to help them all, but I sure don't want him to help the preacher not turn bitter. He's got a good heart. I don't know nothing about the situation. I don't want to know nothing neither. All I know is it ain't none of my business, but I'm real concerned about the outcome. Bitterness rots your leg off, y'all. You know what you do with bitterness? All you got to do is move one letter, the big I. B-I-T-T-E-R-N-E-S-S. All you got to do is take a big I and put in a big E for eternal value, and you'll get better.
Yep.
You'll have to put the eternal one and get that big I, P-R, big I-D-E. I'll never forgive him. P-R, big I-D-E. Pride. Bitterness has got an object, a person, entity. It won't forgive. I'll never forgive that person. I preached the funeral of a man who was kin to me down the line 30 years ago. Never forget it as long as they live. And the oldest daughter sat at the very front of all the chairs. She said at the very front when we walked up to the front of the coffin. And she said, looked up, she said, if I could just tell Daddy one more time that I love him. Because she hadn't seen him in 4 years. If I could just tell Daddy one more time that I love him. All of a sudden, the bitterness was gone. And it got better. But you can't fix it.
I think Jonah come out of it by what he wrote down to us, what he left us. I think he came out of it. How about you? I asked the Lord first of the week what I knew. You know, Brother Joe had asked me last week or whenever it was about preaching. He said, when you want to preach? I said, I'll leave it up with you. He said, okay, you preach Friday night. I said, that's fine. And it is fine. And I appreciate it. Depths of my heart. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm honored to get to preach in your pulpit, Brother Joe Moore. I mean that. I've seen them crawl up in the coffin. Years gone by with my daddy preaching the funeral, I've seen them crawl up in the coffin and beg them to please forgive me. I just wouldn't let it go that far. I'd say I'm sorry.
Come on, listen.
Even if I ain't wrong, I tell them I'm sorry. I don't want you hurting me. Move that big eye out of the way and put the E in, because see, you're not immortal. You're not eternal, not in this world. In the next one, you are. And we'll have a chance in the next one, but if should that person be a lost person, you won't have a chance. You'll get on one side of the white throne crying while that person's overtaking the fact that he's going straight to hell and going to be ushered by the angels into the abyss and going to hell. Not to patch it, not to fix it. I'm not trying to do anything. It just hit me other than that when Heath was preaching. It said between thee, us and thee, I can't quote it verbatim right now, but between us and thee, there's a great gulf. You ever looked that word up? It means a gorge, a wound. The wound of Jesus Christ separated hell from paradise side of Sheol. But it said those that from thence cannot come hence, and those that would come from hence cannot go to thence. Even in paradise, they still would have jumped that abyss to help them people out of hell. Go read it. Check me out. They were already in the next world in a spiritual body. Not a spiritual body, but in a spiritual form. They hadn't got a resurrected body yet. But they said those that would come from hence to thence cannot. It meant they wanted to go. Undoubtedly, they could see the torment, and they wanted to go get them, but they couldn't get across that wound in the side of Christ. You die without Jesus Christ. You will die over your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, your children. You'll die over somebody's prayer that was asking God to help you get to Calvary.
That's it. That's it, brother.
Years ago, Lawrence Cove, Eva Mountain, go up on the mountain and go down into Lawrence Cove. I never met the preacher's wife. I don't even know how I got into that church, into that meeting for that week. It's 30 years ago. I won't never forget as long as they live. I preached Thursday night. Preached on the tabernacle. The holy place. The holy, holy. And how once a year the high priest could walk in. Y'all think I am going to preach 5 hours, don't you? It seems like I've been up here a long time. I'll hurry. I pulled that veil back and I walked in by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 said, we have boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Boldness. Not cocky, but with assurance.
Yeah.
With understanding, he's welcomed you in. Next night, the pastor, Brother Smith was his name. He walked up and said, God bless you, buddy. He said, my wife's been in bitterness for 10 years. Last night, while you was walking into the holy place, she walked in with you. 10 years. You know why, Joe Moore?
Yeah, come on.
Because she seen you mistreated. She seen everybody else mistreating you. Now, she can take it if you want to talk about her, but she ain't going to take it if they talk about you. She'll claw your eyeballs out. I tried it. I still have scars where Teresa got through with me. You take it. You take it if you throw it at me. But you better be ready to take it if you throw it at my wife. I'm coming after you. That's a man. It ain't right, but that's just the way it is. She grew bitter. The reason I knew she was bitter, she was on the very back row by herself all week. Friday night, he said, thank you.
She walked in with you last night. She moved up some too Friday night of the revival. Never seen him again the rest of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, you that dove, are they flying in your heart tonight? Or is bitterness caught in and doves missing in action? You know what a dove will do in World War I, World War II? They use them to get messages over enemy lines. That's what he's doing tonight.
Yes, sir.
He got a little old bitty dove that ain't worth a hill of beans trying to get you a message. Don't grow bitter. Grow better. Don't let an object or a person or a disease or death, divorce, discouragement, don't let it get you, dove.
Yes, come on. Preaching.
Coo. You'd hear him sometime. It sounded like he's way down the woods. You turn around and he's sitting right next to you. And he'd be down the woods and do that coo and you think he's right there.
Yeah.
Ain't he good?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I've met a lot of folk and I ain't never met nobody like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
Now, I've never been in the entrance of a fish and I don't want in the entrance of a fish. I want to do what's right. For the rest, 64 years old, I'll be 65 come next July. I'm telling you, I've enjoyed preaching the last 3 years, except that little stretch I told you about a while ago. I've enjoyed preaching the last 4 years more than I've enjoyed it the last November 21 this month, be 39 years. 39 years. I got saved last June 13, 39 years ago. I'm about 5 months into preaching after I got saved. I would to God I could go back and fix some stuff I messed up as a young preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, come on, Miss Sue, if you don't care. Just as I am, if you just want to play it, that'd be great, good with me. I don't care what you do. I just want you to know something. I nearly got bitter last May, and it doesn't need to be talked or told. You don't need to know. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't corralling around with other women. Wasn't doing nothing. I've had things told on me that ain't so, and you would like to fix it, but it ain't worth fixing. Oh, George Wallace said one thing, and I won't never forget it. When he was governor of Alabama, the third time when Lurline, I think, was in office, he said, you get a little mud on you. He said, well, it dries. And, knock it off. No worry about it. We are guilty because we are human. I want to ask you something, my heart to yours. And if I preach to one person this building, I don't know who it is. I wouldn't know. I have no spiritual understanding who may have needed this thing tonight. But it ain't mine, I'll tell you that. I've done this down in Centerville, Alabama back last May, and it about crippled me because I was preaching to me at a camp meeting, an open-air camp meeting. Boy, God nailed me to the wall. And I told him I was sorry. And that's all he wants out of you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The birds will fly. Coo. Coo. It'll all come back fresh. What happened to the dove? That's your question to answer. Because you're the dove. You're the child of God. What happens to your dove? Dear Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for being good to me.